can we be so present to another human being that in that presence, you create a transformational shift in what they're experiencing?
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. We're doing something a little different today. You're usually seeing me in the comfort of my own home, but for those of you who are watching this on YouTube, we're in a beautiful set today because I have the luxury of interviewing a dear friend of mine, former employer, but someone I'm really looking up to when the ways that he designed his organization, which is a sales organization that puts values first, that puts impact first, that puts giving first. And it's truly the embodiment of what does it look like when you build an organization with the values of selling with love embedded within its DNA. John Abbott is with me. I've had a chance to speak on stages from events that he's put together around the world. I've even went as far as to actually go work for you. I work for John because I wanted to see what did it look like to be a part of his organization and to sell within his organization. I've been doing sales training, sales teaching, and a sales podcast, but I hadn't been in the role of sales in a long time. And knowing John was running this organization, doing some campaigns, I jumped on the phones. I did some of the promotions, which are with clients such as Tony Robbins, which I'm sure a lot of you know, selling coaching packages. And I truly love the way they train their salespeople, the values, the model that they sell with is absolutely beautiful and genius, which is why it is my absolute pleasure to bring him on the show to talk more about the man, the business, and really the movement that he's creating within the industry of personal growth. John, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Man, that was delicious.
Was it?
Yeah. Woo. I could just sit there and listen to you all day, to be honest. Just beautifully aligned conversation that is hence why we're here and hence why, you know, we've been in so much conversation. And, you know, I think it's been like 5 years, 6 years you've been on our stage in
Barcelona.
Barcelona, yeah.
Barcelona in the Pyrenees Mountains. We were doing an event called Freedom Fest.
Freedom X Fest.
And yeah, Freedom X Fest. Yeah. And I'm not even sure how we connected through that. I think we would have been at Mind Valley events together.
Yeah, we ran into each other actually in Croatia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at the Mind Valley University there.
Yeah.
Kind of bumped into each other, kind of spoke there. We had Dorota and you and me, and we're sitting down, we're having a conversation. And then we're like, hey, we're doing this Freedom X Fest. Would you guys like to kind of do something? And we'd actually sent some people to Mind Valley University, and you guys were, yeah, let's see if we can cross-promote this. And with, and then you go, actually, I'd love to come on your stage. Come on. Like, it was great. We had 100 speakers over 5 days, and we rocked that mountain. Like, it was crazy.
It was a good time. So, I mean, I think this was back in 2018. Yeah. So that makes it 6 years ago. And then we've always stayed in touch. And then I got to discover more about what your core business is. And you run a sales agency. Like, your company basically helps organizations, particularly in the space of personal growth, to bring on a sales team for hire for campaign to help them convert a lot more of their leads, people in their ecosystem, into transactions. Would that be a fair kind of 3D description of your main business right now?
Yeah, I would add to that that we actually came from a marketing agency. I was running and putting people on stages, you know, specifically Roger Hamilton in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009 in Australia, all the way to 2011, I was his promoter and filling up his events. So that's where I came from. And some of the things that were showing up inside of that industry was, like, it was great to spend 3 months filling up 1,000 people, you know, to show up and listen to our speaker. And then some of our speakers showed up and, you know, they did great. And some days they didn't do so great. And you put a huge amount of time and effort and energy, and then the conversion rates are so low that you barely, you know, covering costs and everything else. You know, it makes sense over time and distance because, you know, it kind of averages out. But it was a huge amount of energy for some time, a very, very low return. And we tried a bunch of models. How do I speak to the 90, 80% of that 1,000 people, like 800, 900 of people who didn't buy anything, but they've just had an amazing experience? You could see they were totally engaged. They were like pages of notes and like really, you know, part of the conversation. And this was multiple speakers I was working with. And then nothing. and we tried follow-up processes and all that type of thing. That started the mind going, like, how do we re-engage? How do we reconnect with the audience that allows us to find out what the hell happened? Because a lot of times you sit in these events, you've been running them and sitting in the audiences as well, listening to some of the speakers, and you hear them, they present so well, their content really lands, and then they transition into the sales pitch, and everyone goes, it's a bit icky, this is feeling, oh, here it comes, and like everyone's getting tense, and I'm sitting up, but like, here it comes again, like the energy shifts in the room, and then they do the pitch, and it's awkward, and people don't buy it, and it's not because the content isn't, it's just the way they delivered the invitation. And because in their mind, they had to go into a sales pitch and do this, you know, structural thing that is like so, you know, overdone in this marketplace. And they're learning from, you know, those who they've watched and learned from, because that's the way that they sold. And we all know that everybody has their own natural ability and an own natural way of, you know, having conversations and inviting people in to work with them. And if you try and put on or mimic somebody else's thing that doesn't fit you, it doesn't work. And people feel it. You feel it as a presenter. Everybody, including the crew, are cringing. And it doesn't work. And then nobody buys. And so, yeah, like those were some of the ickinesses of this industry that I was like, eh.
I have to jump in there because what's very interesting is, you know, I've been to a lot of seminars. I've seen the pitches, the cringy pitches as well. But there's a lot of sales gurus that will teach you kind of the aggressive alpha sales method, and it converts a certain type of person, but the average audience is very repelled by it. And like, as someone who's like, I'm thinking of myself, like in my early 20s, when I'm watching these guys like talk about sales and like, oh, they look so cool selling. And one of the things that I would get sucked into, and I think I've done this a lot myself, so I'm not claiming to be innocent on this, but it's like, pitching for the sake of the pitcher looking cool, as opposed to pitching for the sake of getting people to transform, is a fine line. Because I've seen even myself, like people would come to me and be like, Jason, how do I pitch better? Like off the cuff, I'm really good at just coming up with a pitch. But the pitch makes the listener who wants to learn to pitch to be like, wow, that sounded cool. It makes me sound cool. But it's not always the most effective for getting the best out of an audience. And I think you've probably witnessed that where the person goes, they pitch, and the results probably aren't as good as we hoped for. So you're leaving a lot of gravy on the table.
That is a big point. But also you're leaving a bad taste in the mouth of all of these people who didn't buy and they don't take action. They kind of go home. They go, oh, it sounded so good, but doesn't feel good. So you actually leave people unserved who absolutely wanted your product, because what you presented and how much you gave through that presentation really landed, was genius, really touched their heart, you know, and their knowing of a better future for themselves, for whatever they're talking about. So these were some of the questions that I was constantly asking. So part of what has evolved of, you know, asking these questions and feeling these ickinesses and then having clients come to me and, you know, say, hey, John, yeah, I've got my pitch, and actually, you know, do a kind of role play pitch to me. Everyone's cringing, including them, and then they break down in tears. I can't do this. And I came to this thought, like, imagine if we didn't have to pitch. What if we could give it a great presentation, and rather than transitioning into asking for people to buy your thing, you stayed in the energy of giving? And this is, you know, relating to your introduction here, which is, how do we put giving first? And how do we stay in the giving mode that allows us to shift so effortlessly into an invitation versus changing energy and state to go from giving into now asking? And when you do that, it's a state change. It's like water into ice. You know, you're changing the state, and people feel the change of state of the person who's delivering that. And some do it very well, and, you know, kind of sneak through the back end entrances very, very well. And others do it really badly. So for instance, here's a version of a pitch which I love, be it online, in a webinar, or on stage. I generally work with a lot of people who do this online, and essentially picture yourself, you know, on stage. You're delivering all this amazing content about, you know, how to change the way that you approach sales, how do you, you know, center yourself, how do you, you know, be putting the person who you're speaking to, you know, first, being present to them, seeing their greater potential, speaking to the very thing that they see themselves as on the other side of this, and helping them to get there and helping them to achieve that and helping them move there. And you've done that for an hour and you've got 100 people in front of you, 1,000 people in front of you. And instead of going, hey, now that, you know, we've completed it and now I'm going to, you know, move into the pitch, rather than doing this shift into the pitch, we go, hey, as a result of you guys being here and your commitment to being here for the last 45 minutes, you know, 60 minutes and 90 minutes with me, I want to, number one, honor you for that and congratulate you for, you know, taking the time out and actually making that commitment to yourself and making your commitment to actually seeing a better version of yourself and actually taking that action and being here. And I want to give you something to honor you for that. And I want to give you the opportunity to win my entire program. I'm giving an entire full scholarship to one person in the audience today. All they've got to do is put an application in and tell me why, number one, this program is something that you really, truly wish to get hold of or attend, and how you see your life changing or how you see yourself affecting the lives of others as a result of getting this training. And you invite people to do that. A very different pitch when you're not asking for anything other than their application, and then you're giving some more for them to actually take the time and effort to do that. Because now we start to get to really understand who your audience is, really understand what they really truly want, understand the value they see in you and the program. And now we can evaluate that and see how those applications come through, and we can sit and be in a conversation of assessment versus a conversation of sale of, oh, you want to buy my program? Great. You know, this is the program. This is, you know, these are all the benefits, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, but what about this and what about that? Like, people go into that and sell me. Instead, they're applying to win your program and they go into an assessment call to see if they're going to win or if they have a second prize, which could be a, you know, a certain amount of funding or whatever else towards their program. So that's how we shift the energy, by actually just saying, what if we come from this amazing place of abundance? Because scarcity will not allow you to do this. If you're running the scarcity mentality about, oh, what if I don't sell enough? You're never going to do this. But if you come from this place of true abundance and go, actually, what if I could affect somebody's life in such a profound way by giving them the program? And one of those people who are the 1,000 or the 100 or 500 people who are in my audience right now are going to be that person. And I get to choose them. And they get to choose me. And we get to give them, you know, the potential of learning all of this content and transforming their lives through this educational program that allows them then to transform hundreds or thousands of people's lives as a result. This is the ROI that we talk about, is the ripples of impact that we create as a result of the giving, which equals the return on investment. There is a balance between this, and that's why, for me, it works, because we are able to build in giving into our profit margins right up front.
I've been a part of this model, and it's highly effective, and it's very energy aligned. I know exactly what you're speaking about with the state shift, but the going into just a giving state, I need to elaborate this for everybody else, because this is something anybody can actually use, but there's ways that you execute it in a way that for someone who just wants it handled, I know your agency does this brilliantly, because once people apply, you pick one winner, but you're also left with so many applications. Everybody who's shown interest around wanting to get the value from your program. And what's very, very subtle but significant is the conversation now isn't about features, isn't about price. The value has been established. Now it's just about the opportunity that's offered with anybody who's a second place or a third place prize, which I know you have massive scholarships that you offer for people. And with your permission, I want to kind of lay this out for everybody, because I was on the phone with people that actually did not win the first prize, but everybody else that actually took in the time to put in an application, they would actually get on a phone call with a salesperson. I was one of those salespeople. And I thought it was beautiful, because you could have a program that's $5,000. Somebody got it for free, but everybody else, you could offer, say, a $2,000 discount as a scholarship for anybody who took the time to apply. And I think that's a fair exchange in the launch model. And so I could have a conversation with people, say, hey, We've already announced the first place winner, but as a second place prize, we do have a $2,000 scholarship just because you took the time to apply. So I just wanted to, again, just reconfirm everything you've put in and just see if they had any more clarification questions. And what we've done is made this accessible as possible to you so that if you want to pay in full, you get to apply the full $2,000 scholarship. If finances is a bit of a struggle right now, we've actually made it available where payment plans are here. You do have to pay a little bit of a premium if you use the payment plan, but we are looking at the options and seeing how we can meet you where you are at. Brilliant as a salesperson to have these kinds of frame of mind with the people you're about to talk to. That's not the reality of most sales calls you have to do because you're dealing with more adversarial. This is seemed to be a bit more collaborative.
And a lot of what we do inside of this with most of our clients, the clients who really embrace this, we work on a bit of a sliding scale. So that 2,000 could be 2,500. Or if somebody actually has the money, it can be 1,000. So we can actually play with that. In fact, we've had many people apply and ask to pay full price and ask that some of their funds go towards help sponsoring and helping other people who actually need it more. When those people come through, we send those back to the speaker who we're representing, and they get often an interview and whatever else, because these are those beautiful gems of human beings who are out there who can see that a model like this is actually supporting far more people to get access to these tools, and often life-changing tools for the people that they're serving, and they show up that way. But what I love to see in the conversations that we're having is that the job of the assessment officer, we don't call them agents, these are assessment officers, we're going through a qualification process, is to utilize the funding to work with the person to get them to a stretch and not a stress. And I say that from a place that we represent a lot of people who have come through stressful businesses and stuff like that, and they're exiting those to become coaches, or they have some health risks. We're representing beautiful speakers who actually help people get through cancers and all sorts of things. So we're actually representing extraordinary, programs of retreats around health and fasting and stuff like that. And sometimes the people are under a lot of stress already. You don't need to throw another financial stress in here. So can we get them to a stretch so that they show up? Because we want them to show up. And can we make sure that we don't leave them in a worse place? We've got to leave them in a better place than when they were when they came in. That is every single agent's number one end result. No matter if they buy, don't buy, we get them to a stretch, whatever it is, how we finish that and how we leave them is more important than anything else that we do on that call.
Yeah. God, this is why I wanted to talk to you, man. Because I speak about this so much, whereas okay, you're going to have 100 people, you'll have 7%. They just buy. They're ready to buy. It's right time, right product, right offer. Great. Yeah. Then you have a 60% that it's either not the right time or they just need a bit more information. And the sale might not happen immediately, but you might have the sale happen within a couple months, et cetera, but you want to maintain a good rapport with them. You don't want to go and squeeze them because you might get an extra 2% of sales right now, but you'll alienate everyone else and the brand will be ruined in the process. And then you have maybe that, call it 30%, 40%, they're just not in a position to buy, but you have an opportunity to make everybody a promoter. You have everybody that could be a raving fan and someone that goes out and spreads goodwill for you if they're not able to spend the money. And it breaks my heart when people are just about, it's convert or time-wasting assholes. I've seen that in sales. And you come in and you're no, there's a way you can make sure that everybody's left better. And gosh, it doesn't take that much effort to do that. It just actually, you just need to care. And I think that the industry's been plagued with a lot of people that don't care. But I'd be curious, you could have been doing everything. You started as marketing. Now you're doing this in sales. Why do you care about bringing this model forward?
I feel that my history of coming from Africa is part of this heartfelt connection to people in Africa who just have nothing. They have the biggest freaking hearts. They will literally work for nothing for a greater cause, and will to fill a purpose. And I feel that that's ingrained in my being. I can't pull that out of me. That's just there. I've come to live in Indonesia. I've been here for 14 years, and I see extraordinary human beings living on, small amounts of income. And I always wonder, how do we get tools into the hands of these people who are so freaking passionate? so dedicated, so motivated, and they're doing it with or without any help. They are out there and they've got their sleeves rolled up and they are helping people in far greater need than themselves. And using the tools that they have available, they've worked out on the job in the best way they can. How do we get life-changing tools or like transformational tools into those guys' hands? And that's really where my passion comes. Like, if I can affect enough of those are already affecting thousands around them. Like, examples of that, I'll give you one example, because like there's hundreds and hundreds of them that I get to see every single month. And we give away so many programs. I am so grateful that I get to see these programs landing in people's hands. Like, there's this lady, this was one of the first ones we did with one of our clients about 2 years ago. And I remember it so well because I read it and I was bawling. Pretty much like when I first actually started working out this method, I was so overwhelmed by the applications that people would put in. And like, I would be crying quite often reading these applications going, oh my God, like, how is this going to change this person's life or this person's child's life or their health? And you ask them to tell you why and how this program is going to change their life, they tell you. And it's incredible. This woman was out of Nigeria and she had come from the prison. She had been in prison as a female. It's these petty theft in those parts of the world that are heavily hit. Like, you do a petty theft, you go to jail for years. And she had a child and they separate mothers from children when they put them into the prison system. And she beat herself up so badly. She came out, she needed so much rehabilitation to allow herself to forgive herself for what happened. And she was stealing because she had no money for food for her child. So like, you know, like, how is that not going to mess with your brain? So she realized while she was there that there were so many people in the prison system, in the female prison system, who were in the same situation. So she was like, holy shit. After her rehabilitation, she said, I can help these people. She started an organization. She had 26 people she had trained up going to, you know, these female prisons, you know, Nigeria and surrounding countries. And they were making like tiny money, you know, like they were just literally doing it from the love of their heart. And all the 26 people were people she had already rehabilitated and, you know, helped them come to peace with what had happened and all that type of thing. And wow, how does that shift human beings and the way that they connect then with people when they come out of those systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Incredible. She put an application in. And we were giving away the whole, you know, coach mastery program and everything else, $15,000 worth, no chance in the world to ever get access to that. And we read the application and, you know, she was one of, like, actually we gave her about six away than the very first one. There were such incredible applications on that. And we continue to actually, it's been amazing. But she was one of those standouts and we didn't just give it to her, we gave it to all 26. It was like, wow. Like, that's been 2 years in the running. They've been showing up and they're learning and they bring those tools in and their ability to help people through, you know, using, you know, much more powerful coaching techniques to help people get through this stuff has been, you know, life-changing and just accelerating the way they can do that work. Those are the stories that like just get me jumping out of bed every day going, who else is going to be showing up where we can support that? And of course, you know, that's like the extreme end of that, but that's the impact. Now, how do we create massive impacts, these ripples of impact that aren't about us? It's not about the person that we're doing it to. It's the ripple of the ripple that they create. Yeah, that's what I think it's called, you know, like it's this effect that, you know, when you drop a pebble in, you can see the ripples going out that way, but you can't see the ripples going out from the 90 degrees out. Like, those are the ripples that I'm interested in, the ones that we can't see. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
It's very refreshing to hear you say that because it definitely makes it seem, and I know, if because I know you, it is an impact first motivation for why you do what you do. I don't see that from many people who would be sales managers, sales organization owners. I think it makes you quite a unique and cherished breed of people. And, you know, to bring it to the sales effectiveness side, are you seeing this attitude be detrimental to your sales conversion or inspirational for your sales organization?
I'm going to throw some numbers in yet so that we can actually get to see what the reality of this is. Every organization we work with, number one, is they're already profitable. Their front-end funnels work. People come in, they buy their program at full price and whatever else, or you know, whatever discount that they're offering. That works. They run events, they make an offer, it all works. Where we generally come in and we make the first impact for them is the phase two of that. So those people who didn't buy, and you know, we run a campaign, we invite people to put applications in, we assess every single one of those applications. We grade them. We go, you know, who's the best ones? You know, who would we shortlist as potential second prizes? We also unqualify people who just throw, you know, applications in that aren't, you know, at that level of frequency that I'm looking for or energy. And then we get into those conversations and we enroll a number of people who would never have come through otherwise. And depending on what your organization looks like and how you're running them, and we do this for organizations who run real live retreats, 6-day, 10-day, up to 30-day retreats we've sold. So there's real overheads and we can still make the model work. You know, we have less, we can play with that because at the end of the day, once you've hit any of the way that you deliver that, once you've hit your break even, everything else in general is profit or there's a certain fixed amount cost to deliver to that one person, whatever it is. And then everything else of that is profit because you've hit break even. So all of our clients already over break even, you know, in profit. So literally what I bring in, and when I say I, the team brings in, the giving model brings in, is this ability to maximize your impact, maximize the number of people you can affect, maximize the number of people you can reach from a place of actual abundance. We already are there. So I'll throw some numbers in. I've just done some evaluations recently on some of the clients that we've been serving where we've been doing both sides of it. So we actually have a full front-end sales team who handles sales from the front end with the same selling from the heart process. You know, that's in the DNA of every single person in our organization. And then we have our campaigns that run to the people who don't buy through those funnels. No matter if they got on a call or they didn't get on a call, they get invited into those campaigns. And then we have our entire team, like you joined, to actually be in the assessment role. And for one of these organizations that we do, you know, a few million a year with, our assessment on value of income, front-end sales, 49% of financial revenue, front-end funnel, for the same period of time, 61% of revenue through the giving model. A lot more people as well. So, you know, you've got 61%. For it to be 61% revenue of the 100%, and therefore we're giving away a number of scholarships, we've probably got another 30% on top of that in actual people that we're enrolling on top. So if we got 50 people, you know, from the front end, we've got about, you know, 70 people coming through our back end. So we're more than doubling the numbers of people through their programs. Revenue-wise, again, we're above the price or the cost per person who's being delivered the service. So everything is profit.
No, I find it's such a great model. And again, the impact is there first. The way I've seen this be most effective, correct me if I'm wrong, is, you know, if I'm running a campaign, for example, I can run my campaign. I don't need to have the giving model at the front end. I can launch it at retail. Because everybody who's in a position of retail purchase and wants to have that kind of instant purchase, they get to go through that experience. And then that 7%, then I don't need to pay the fees that come or the complexity that I have within the giving model. Then you come in, and then for everybody else who didn't buy, now you have that big chunk of people that are raving fans that are willing to demonstrate that they want to do the work, and they're going to, because, you know, everybody's like, can I have it for free? And there's nothing worse than giving something to free for someone who doesn't want to put in the work. If you've put in the application, now you've engaged and enabled your entire community, and you give them an offer that is at a scholarship price, which takes away some of your profit margin, but that's okay. You've made your profit margin on your first batch. And then, you know, if they're working with your team, because I know you have an entire agency that does this fulfillment, and then you obviously have to pay your sales team, you have to pay for, you know, all the efforts you put in, which is well deserved, but there's still everything there is just a hard cost divider. Like if you're running a business and you got a retreat and say you're like, okay, I got, you know, 30 people coming to the retreat, but I could fit 50. Why not just add 20 people, which might be at a lower profit margin, but it still is money coming in that distributes the hard costs. And now you're still having an event with a filled room. It's genius. It's fantastic.
The biggest question people ask, and I just throw this in because I think, you know, anyone who's listening to this right now is maybe asking the same question, is how can you sell the same thing at different prices?
Mm.
For me, it's about the commitment to reaching more people and enabling more people to access your technology or the healing programs or whatever it is, and how that's communicated. Because nobody cares if they pay full price and somebody who actually had no chance of being able to get that healing paid half the price when they see the impact of that healing for that person. Like, no one cares. It's like, wow, how cool is that? These guys are helping these people as well. It actually raises the vibration, raises people's respect for actually what you do. If you do it from a place of trying to discount and trying to manipulate the whole process and make more money and get more people in, it doesn't work. Like, it's an energetic. People pick this up. And I've had very, very few, but I've had, you know, less than a dozen, less than half a dozen different people try and take the model selfishly and manipulate it. And that saddens me, but it also encouraged me because none of it worked. Like every time I saw it being manipulated, it didn't work. And I was like, hello. Thank you, universe.
I mean, the impact and the caring that comes first, I think, is felt through. And even the way that you've trained your sales team, and, you know, you've talked just before how now when you're doing your hiring and the types of people you bring on to execute on this model, when you're looking to hire salespeople, there's certain elements you have to look for so that people are actually compatible. Because I think there's a couple different types of people out there. Some are really good at sales. Some are really good at sales, but maybe don't have the same values aligned. And then there's some people that haven't learned the skills of selling. How do you go and find the kinds of people you need so that they can work with people with that same level of heart, care, and energy?
Wonderful question around that, because it's taken time. It started with some real simple things, which was, who resonates with this message? Like, and can we ask them enough questions and get from them their heart in wanting to do this work in the way that we describe? And I'd say over the years, the first people who came through, they all resonated from a place that they came from sales backgrounds, selling stuff that they didn't like, they didn't believe in, wasn't actually making a difference on the planet. They were having to push hard, hit targets, and, you know, make, you know, kind of hard push and make the money that they needed each month to hit their targets and stay in their job. And that's exhausting. That will burn out the best of the best. I don't know any great salespeople who stay in those kind of roles for long. Like, they usually eventually go, okay, this is not what I want to do with my life. So I'm looking for people who have kind of gone through that process, got to that burnout, got to that place of realization that this is not what I love doing. And invite those people into having a more purposeful conversation with humans who really are looking and seeking ways to fulfill their greatest potential. And that's a certain kind of person who's traveled that road. You know, it's this journey of, you know, whatever you want to call that, the hero's journey. We've gone through the valley of the night and we've come through the other side and gone, that's not where we want to play. We kind of see the light. It's like, okay, that's what I want to do. And we generally show up in front of those people and they generally show up in front of us. So that's number one, a big value. Number two value is actually having somebody who's willing to put themselves in a position of service. And that is, for me, like such a huge part of value that I'm looking for. Who is willing to demonstrate to me how they put themselves in a place of service in the past. And I will ask that question in the interview. So service is, you know, high in your values. You know, tell me about, you know, some examples of where you've been in service to other humans to help them, you know, see their greatest potential, whatever. And we listen for that. We're truly looking to see, is this person somebody who's willing to go the distance? Because sometimes you're going to sit with somebody who's in total breakdown because they're at stage 4 cancer, and we're having this conversation about, are you really up for shifting what needs to shift inside your mind, inside the stress that you're creating inside your body, and see a different path? Because there's a reason why they're sitting there. There's a reason why they're having this conversation. There's a reason why they showed up at this event. And our job is to help them see a new possibility, a new future, a new way of being, living, and becoming who they truly want to, or the experience they truly want to have in their life. Those conversations, you can't be selling. You've got to be present in service to that human. And sometimes you just got to hold them. And we hold space for somebody to be in a breakdown conversation in sales. Like, there's going to be a lot of people who are listening to this and they're in sales, and they're going to go, yeah, that sounds interesting, John. That's not the way I've been taught to sell. Well, that's okay if you're not selling something that truly shifts somebody's, you know, reality and experience of life.
Yeah. John, you know, the only thing that's saddening me right now is I do know that you're actually driving your wife over to the airport very shortly, and I do want to respect your time, and I did make a promise on his time, but I would say this has been a wonderful conversation. I know that there's more conversations for us to have. What I would love to make sure that I get to answer as a question is the one question I ask all my guests, which is, what does selling with love mean to you?
It links to this being in service, leaving people in a better place, but maybe even deeper. It's, can we be so present to another human being that in that presence you create a transformational shift in what they're experiencing? Most people in the world never get really seen, really heard, really held. That's selling from the heart, being able to be so freaking present and holding somebody through the fire for them to express what truly needs to be expressed, and for you to hear them, for you to be so present to see them. That on its own creates a moment where people realize they're valuable. They are actually seen, heard. There's something else. There's love available to them. That's all in there.
John, thank you. You're definitely a testament to what I've seen Selling with Love be in practice as a whole. I look up to you as a role model. I'm so impressed with the organization you've built, and I'm honored that we've been able to get the time together to record this episode. I do want to leave something for everybody here that is listening in. If you've listened to this, this might have affected you a couple ways, and I want to give you a couple actions you can take from this. Number one, if in your organization you're looking to bring some new campaigns to make more sales and to have it align with impact, care, purpose, if you look at the giving model and the way that he's described it, whereas you had leads that went through an event, you haven't been able to see them convert into clients, doing an application-based giveaway for somebody to get it for free, and everybody else who's made that application to have an opportunity to have a scholarship, a discount, to be able to invest themselves into that program, is a beautiful campaign that can generate some extra revenue, and I would highly encourage you to consider using that. But again, don't modify with the model. And if your intention is coming from the place of giving, you will see its effectiveness, and it'll be a lot better in the way that you pitch it. I also want to speak to anybody who's been looking to improve themselves in sales, or maybe you're looking at a career shift and maybe sales done in the way that John has spoken is something that speaks to you. I'm going to make sure that there's a link to the Inspiral website, which is the name of his organization. They are recruiting salespeople. They are looking to bring people onto their team. And if this spoke to you and you're like, oh my God, this is the kind of vocation that speaks to my soul, I would encourage you to go to the website and apply for their potential positions. I've had one of my good friends who was a jiu-jitsu trainer who was looking for this kind of transformation in his life. And he's went through the process. He's going through the sales training right now. And his feedback has been one of the best sales trainings that he's been through. And, you know, this is a bit counter to myself because I offer sales training, but I am biased to say that the best sales training is the sales training that you have as your job. Why? Because for somebody who's going through a sales training where the result of your competence is going to affect the organization has more incentive in your success than somebody whose incentive is to sell you a program on sales. And so I say that almost to my own detriment, but that's how I truly believe in what John's doing. And if this spoke to you, definitely go check it out. There are going to be a growing organization. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I wish John would sell for me and would represent and apply this model so I don't need to lift a finger and I know it's being done right, go to Inspiral. The man has some capacity, I think. Although most of the times it's like 7 months out.
It's a bit of a waiting list, but it's okay.
I know, but I want to encourage anybody who's in that position, definitely contact John, go to their website. This is something that can unlock new revenue streams. And I've seen how you've handled your clients. They don't have to do much, if anything, because you've built an agency that really does everything. And I want to make sure that there's proper recognition for your efforts. And for anybody who's been inspired by this conversation, definitely you're going to see some good stuff being done by John.
Maybe I can throw one more thing in, Jason, which you don't know about, which is Estelle and I, we've been constantly, you know, asked from many speakers and people who are kind of aspiring speakers and trainers to just help them actually get themselves launched, get themselves a product suite, a staircase, you know, how to kind of put all those bits together, how to put the marketing together, how to have the conversations. And we recently, and this is in the last, you know, since January, after trying to help people one-on-one, and we just don't have capacity to do that, we've decided to open up our incubator called the Inspiral Incubator. So inspiral.in, you know, you'll see that up very, very shortly. We're inviting people in. It's basically VIP backstage entrance into our entire organization. You get access to our entire team, our sales manager. You get to join our sales team trainings. You get to join the funnel manager mapping out funnels. You bring your funnels in, you get them mapped out with the team. So basically making our team available as a VIP access into seeing how we do it for the very, very best in the world. And of course, the other part of it is actually so many people in this industry are doing this alone, trying to work it out themselves. And I'm so committed to connecting these worlds together because we're all trying to create an end result, which is the same, which is how do we evolve our human experience into one that actually serves all? And if we can start to now collaborate together and actually put all of the different people doing different things, now we're going to start creating partnerships. We're going to start having people support each other. Sometimes you may not even continue with the organization because you want to jump in and work for somebody else, or they're going to come and jump in and have them work with you. So that's the promise. And we're launching that in the next couple of months. And actually, Jason, I'm going to be inviting you to present and offer some of your training as a bonus for those people. We'll have a chat about how that's going to work. But you know what you train is so extraordinary connected to this conversation that we're having. And that's why, you know, when you wrote the book and I had a look at it, I was like, wow, there is nothing inside of this book that is not part of my DNA. So that's the invitation to everyone here. And you know, of course, as a little gift to you to come and connect in with our growing community.
I accept the invitation. And that's an amazing surprise. I think you're going to be amazing at doing that just because your values are in the right place. So everybody listening, I think you have some very interesting paths to explore. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I have, and definitely go out there and keep selling with love. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.